Hey everybody, welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and before we get started, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I wanted to thank you for listening and supporting our ministry. Since it's December, we're actually re-airing some of our Best of 2025 special programs featuring messages of hope and encouragement from throughout the year shared by some of our most popular guests. With so many people hurting right now, we want to continue being the hands and feet of Jesus by offering people care and providing resources that help you build stronger relationships with God and with those around you. But we can only do this with your help. If you feel led to support our ministry, visit aaccfoundation.org. Again, that's aaccfoundation.org to make a tax-deductible donation that will allow you to be the hands and feet of Jesus alongside of us.
Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a great guest. So let's get started. My dad and I hope you're getting ready for Christmas, just a few days away now. Let me tell you, this is one of my favorite times of the year, a time to come together with family and friends and celebrate the most amazing gift of all, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus and his sacrifice for our sins, nothing here on earth would look the same. And that's the subject of today's classic program featuring my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, speaking with author and scholar, Dr. Jerry Newcomb. Jerry produced the documentary film in partnership with Dr. D. James Kennedy Ministry that is entitled, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? My friends, this is a heady concept, but one that bears discussion. If you're a believer, then you will relish this conversation, which unpacks the biblical truth that if Christ had not been born, nearly every facet of human life would be more harsh, dire, and filled with no hope rather than it is today. Jerry offers little-known historical facts that serve as evidence of all the benefits to humankind, from economics to art to government to science to civil liberties, morality to health and beyond. It's wild and honestly very scary to ponder our lives if Jesus Christ not lived. And that, my friends, makes clear the real reason for the season. So sit down, relax, and enjoy my dad with Dr. Jerry Newcomb. This will give you something to ponder and hopefully something to share.
You know, in a time when it seems like truth is dying, truth is truth, Jerry. And the truth is it applies to all generations.
That's right. That's right. Each generation can rediscover, you know, the great American saga, the quest for freedom. And ultimately, it gets back to God. You know, what is America in one phrase, a two-part phrase, but one phrase? America is self-rule under God. You can describe it any way you want to, and like the consent of the governed and all those kinds of things. But basically, you got to have the God part, because if you don't have the God part, then basically our rights are up to the state, and what the state giveth, the state can taketh away, as my good friend Bill Federer, great historian, who's, by the way, a guest in many of these different programs that we've made for the Providence Forum series, which is called The Foundation of American Liberty. But God-given rights are non-negotiable. And so we live at a time when somehow Americans think that the government gives us our rights. No, it does not. God gives our rights. And the founders, God bless them, they understood that our rights come from the Creator, and therefore they are indeed non-negotiable.
Jerry, one of the concerns that has really presented itself in our culture, modern day times, is what's happening in our schools, what's being taught about America's heritage, America's original story.
Jerry, can you take us back there? I know the New York Times came out with that 1619 project. I know there was the 1776 commission, two completely different narratives, if you will. But what are some of your thoughts and what's the application here for moms and dads?
Well, the 1619 project postulates that America didn't begin in 1776 when the founders declared independence from Great Britain and dependence upon the Almighty God. It began rather in 1619 when the first Africans were brought over as slaves. Actually, initially, they were indentured servants in Jamestown. So 1619 is when, unfortunately, what became this whole evil institution of slavery, it began in 1619. And in fact, the lady that is the chief author of the 1619 Project originally even wrote that the reason that there was the American War for Independence, the American Revolution, it was all about slaveholders protecting their slaveholding interests, which frankly is absurd. Because, for example, in 1774, okay, 2 years before the founders declared independence, 1774, in Virginia, several of the Burgesses, in the House of Burgesses, this would include George Washington, James Mason, and then also Thomas Jefferson, they created something called the Fairfax Resolves. And the purpose of the Fairfax Resolves was to abolish the slave importation of slaves coming from Africa or coming from the Caribbean, you know, no more into Virginia. And people need to realize that the fight against slavery, for example, Wilberforce's Christian crusade against slavery was in two phases. Phase one, stop the slave trade, stop the bleeding, if you will. Phase two, then free the slaves. And so the founders actually started this process of trying to stop the slave trade. And in fact, what happened was King George III said, no, we will not allow this Fairfax Resolves. You know, get in line, you colonists. I'm in charge, not you. And so it's amazing, though, that the founding fathers of America get no credit for something like that. Then later on, when they wrote the Constitution, 1787, they actually wrote it up and they said one of the stipulations of this is within 20 years of this going into effect, the slave trade will stop. And that did stop in 1808. Now, unfortunately, because of the cotton gin being invented and the demand for slavery then, you know, growing real fast, there were a number of slaves that were already here. And so they populated. And so therefore, that didn't end slavery. But they started the process. They also wrote something called the Northwest Ordinance, which said, okay, new territories that are added that become states in the United States, they will follow this model. And one of them, one of the stipulations of that was no slavery in those states. So the founders really, there were a lot of attempts that were made to stop slavery. So to say that the American Revolution was about protecting the right to own slaves is absolutely historically false. It's just false.
Jerry, that's fascinating to me because there's a real attempt to erase and rewrite history, and all this is going on. A fascinating piece to me, too, was in your documentary, A City on the Hill, states that the Puritans cherished the biblical concept of covenant. That was an agreement for self-government under God. In other words, our rights come from God, not from the government. That's an important concept for everybody to understand, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's why your dad, when he was serving in World War II, and thank you for his service, when he came back to the United States, he kissed the ground because you can smell the freedom. You can feel it. God did something very special in the founding of America, in helping to show the way, that city on a hill that, you know, the founders were not perfect by any means. The settlers of America were not perfect by any means, but they did strive towards creating a more perfect union. And there's a reason people will risk their lives to try and come here to America, even to this day. If America was as bad as what people who postulate the 1619 Project, say it is, you know, it's almost like they should go to the southern border and say, hey, everybody, turn around. America stinks. It's just a hopelessly racist country. You know, some that postulate the 1619 Project, again, the idea that America began when the first African slaves came to this country, not 1776 when the founders declared dependence on Almighty God, but independence from England, they should almost go to the border and say, hey, America stinks because, you know, we're bad. We've always been bad. Did you realize that some that postulate the 1619 Project believe that America's racism is in our DNA? It's in the national DNA. In other words, America is hopelessly racist. It can never get over racism. Well, that's a terrible, terrible message. Dr. Carol Swain, for example, you mentioned the 1776 Unites. That was a response by scholars, historical scholars, against the 1619 Project, saying you're off base. It even includes some secular historians that are like, no, this is bad history that you're trying to peddle here. And Dr. Carol M. Swain, an African-American former professor at Vanderbilt Law School and also Princeton, she's on the board of D. James Kennedy Ministries. She's terrific. And she said that the CRT, the critical race theory, and this would be true of the 1619 Project as well, it sends a very crippling message to little black children. It basically says, no matter how hard you try, you are not going to succeed in America because this country is systemically racist. Well, she said it in a radio interview with me. And she, by the way, she co-wrote a book called Black Eye for America. It's all about critical race theory and why it gives America a black eye. She said that this crippling message tells children, you can't succeed no matter what. And she said, you could say America might have been systemically racist up until the early 1960s when the different civil rights laws were passed and voting laws and so forth. But once those things were passed, yeah, you have anecdotes of racism here and there and so forth, but you don't have the systemic racism which they had to deal with before the acceptance of those laws. So, you know, you were asking me earlier about some of these documentaries I've made. One of the ones coming up in February, to be released in February, is called We the People. And it not only deals with the Constitution and how Christianity played a major role in that, it shows how Christianity helped play a major role in helping, you know, alleviate some of the bad things that were done, let's say, to black people or to Indians in the American experience.
Jerry, I want to wrap up this piece. This documentary, no doubt, has had, even at this stage of your life, a real impact on you, personally and professionally. And when I think of what's happening in modern-day culture, and again, the attempts to silence or shame or stigmatize people, to erase history and more, it's just shocking. And to see it in culture, it's just like, God be with us, lead us. Jerry, again, a fun conversation, amazing conversation. No doubt people are saying, hey, where in the world can we learn more about these documentaries if we want to watch them? Maybe right now. I wrote down providenceforum.org. That's providenceforum.org. Or I think you said djameskennedy.org. Is that correct?
Yes, both are correct. And in fact, the providenceforum.org, that's where you can get more information on these historical documentaries, which is called the Foundation of American Liberty series. I created it. If anybody asks me, well, what's the Foundation of American Liberty? The answer is our Judeo-Christian heritage. And we were grateful to have people like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Oz Guinness, Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., you know, contribute comments in this series of documentaries. One of which is A City on a Hill, all about the settling era of America before we had independence. You know, so in other words, mostly focusing in the 1600s and early 1700s.
Can you imagine what would happen if every young person, mom, dad, every young person watched those documentaries and let God soak that in their hearts, especially in this day and hour that we're living in? You guys are coming out with a new documentary, a new film called What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? I think it goes back to a work that you and Dr. D. James Kennedy did together back in the 90s. But tell us a little bit about it and the greatest story ever told. At the end of the day, everything we're talking about ultimately anchors itself in Christ.
It does. You're absolutely right. The impact of Jesus Christ, on our planet is without parallel. And in fact, Dr. Kennedy and I, when we wrote this book back in 1994, both of us appreciated the movie that we'll probably be seeing in the next couple of weeks, maybe you and your family as well, called It's a Wonderful Life, with a Jimmy Stewart character. It's a Frank Capra movie. He gets his, the Jimmy Stewart character sees what life would be like had he never been born, and he realizes that it actually made a difference. And we thought, well, what if that principle were to be applied to Jesus Christ? Because so many aspects of our culture were just incredibly, you know, impacted by Jesus Christ. There's not one square mile on this planet that you can find, you know, where all these kinds of different positive things that we've enjoyed in Western civilization. Yes, we've had lots of problems, but a lot of that is when we're moving away from Christ. But the influence of Jesus in terms of charity and hospitals, the phenomenon of hospitals were started by Christians, the phenomenon of education for the masses, public education, you know, the forerunner of public education, that all gets back to Christianity. At the end of the day, America needs to come back to God. But what if Jesus had never been born? Just shows how we can document in one area after another of human endeavor, Christianity made incredible contributions that were extremely important. I mean, one aspect that's even not even thought about these days very much is science. It was Christianity that gave birth to what became modern science, because they felt that a rational God had made a rational universe, and it was their idea as scientists to think God's thoughts after him. Sir Isaac Newton wrote more about the Bible and theology than he did about science.
Jerry, I'm looking at Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and for him are all things, and to him be the glory forever and ever. There's something about the holidays, Jerry, that just warms our hearts, that no matter what the noise is or the chaos that's going on around us, and no matter the insanity of what's happening in culture to erase and shut down different things, at the end of the day, it all comes back to a babe in a manger, to the one that the pilgrims said thank you to as they began to celebrate God's goodness and grace, even in spite of their circumstances and challenges. The ones who began to build this country, who anchored themselves in the belief that we don't get our rights again from the government. We get them from God. And it's to that end that joy floods our hearts. I want to close with a verse, and I wanted to give you a closing thought here as we wrap up this little kind of double hit on the holidays, Jerry. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of the Father concerning you. Jerry, when we do that, when we go to that place, it just seems like everything else fades and everything, darkness turns into light, doesn't it?
It does indeed. There's no greater attribute really than to be grateful. In fact, one practice that I've started to develop in the last year or so, I try to think in the morning, go through in my mind 100 things that I'm grateful for. 100 things. And it's just amazing how when you just count your blessings and you realize what God has done for us. And earlier when you were talking about how the life of Christ touches us and it touched the pilgrims and the Puritans and so many of the founding fathers, not all of them, but most of them. And I think of a time where about 10 years ago in a busy mall, this happened to be in Canada, while they had all these harassed shoppers in the food court, this lady gets up and starts singing Hallelujah. She starts singing the Hallelujah chorus. And then a janitor gets up and joins her. And then someone else does it. And this was a flash performance. You've probably seen this video. I can't watch it without tearing up because of how beautiful the Hallelujah chorus is. And this was performed really professionally. And all the shoppers are just so amazed. There's nothing like Jesus Christ and his coming into our world to touch the human heart and human soul. No wonder so many great things were started by Christians for Christian purposes, even to this day. that work continues. So, for example, there are languages around this world that have never been set to writing. Christian missionaries are now, we don't know these people by name, but the many of them under Wycliffe and other mission outlets, they're taking time to get that language to be written down so that they can translate the Bible into that as of yet unwritten tongue. Wow, what a difference Jesus Christ has made in every way, in, you know, including spreading literacy, knowledge, and above all, dying for us in our place, paying a price he did not owe, and then sealing the deal by rising from the dead on the third day. The ultimate Christmas gift is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and living for him, because he makes all the difference in the world. Every beat of the human heart, who I don't care who you are, every beat of your heart is courtesy of Jesus Christ. So why not make peace with him, accept him this Christmas season? It's the best Christmas gift you could ever receive.
Dr. Jerry Newcomb has been our guest. Jerry, if people want to learn more about you and those documentaries, The City on a Hill, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born, beautiful, perfect for Christmas, providenceforum.org and djameskennedy.org. Is that correct, Jerry?
Yes, that's exactly right. djameskennedy.org for Truths That Transform, including What If Jesus Had Never Been Born, providenceforum.org for more information on the Foundation Series.
Well, I hope you found this as fascinating as I did. This is Dr. Tim Clinton stepping in to thank you for listening. We're fighting the clock and, hey, up against time, but I encourage you, go and find Dr. Jerry Newcomb's documentary online. It's entitled, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? It's something I encourage everyone to ponder this Christmas season as we give thanks and celebrate the gift of our Savior.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. If you strip away money and status, what would you wake up excited to give your energy to? This question cuts through cultural noise and exposes your core values. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 13 reminds us that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. Clinically, people thrive when their work aligns with purpose, not just a paycheck. Your God-given passion may not always be your profession, but it should influence how and where you show up. Reflect on what energizes you today. Oftentimes, even the smallest steps can bring joy and renewed strength. So how can you integrate more of that into your week, whether through work, service, or creativity? This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit AACC.net. That's AACC.net.